Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord. Now, sometimes there are songs that the majority of it really fit with the teaching, but some of the words aren't exactly scriptural. Like, if you ever see it say something like, though they're weak and poor, don't sing that over yourself. Either change it to rhyme or just be silent in that part, and then the rest of it you could continue singing. So we don't want to throw out the whole song, you know. But the writers, you know, got a really wonderful song, but sometimes their doctrine may not align with our doctrine, and we still want to enjoy that song and get in the presence of God. Amen? Yeah. Hallelujah. This title is How to Hear the Voice of God, and this is part two. If you did not get part one, that was way in March on the 11th, and tonight's the 29th of April, and we take turns here at ABC, so finally I got to do my part two, amen? So we're basically using the same outline, and we're just going to complete it, and I encourage you to get part one, because I can't spend all that time doing a detailed summary, but I'll do a little bit of a summary. But I do want to read parts of a testimony that I got a couple of days after that part one from somebody that's new at ABC. And she had said to me she so much wanted to hear the voice of God. And she said, I just did what you said to do in your teaching. And then I could hear God's voice. It was so exciting to me. I'm like, yes, Lord. You know, wherever we go, different parts of the world and ministering, that's one of the things that we have, had the privilege of doing, is to teach people how to hear God's voice. It's so important, because you need to be led by the Spirit of God. And we can't wait till the end times to get ready to hear what to do. We have to prepare now and practice so that in an instant, we know definitely it's God's voice. And we're not going to get mixed up if it's our voice. We're not going to get mixed up if it's the devil pretending to be God's voice. And then if we miss it and then we make a mistake, then we learn and grow. But it's better to learn and grow now than when we really need to be on target all the time, right? So part of this testimony is, she says, a few weeks ago, I'm not going to read it all because it's long, but just excerpts. How to hear the voice of God. I offer the following. I have wanted to have a secure and consistent connection with God for a long, long time. And listening and hearing from God is foundational to this accomplishment. I did what was suggested at the bottom of the teaching. Well, you find at the bottom of the outline. And then she started to listen to worship music. She left it on all day and partially at night. I recommend keep it on all night, not just partially. And then she felt the presence of God. And at first I poured out my heart and my soul to God. I emptied myself of myself. And then eventually I began to just sit and wait expectantly. That was a key word. She expected it because her faith rose when she heard the teaching, and she knew she was just going to go in there and she was just going to have that wonderful communion with God and fellowship, and she expected it. And that was her faith was expectant, see? And the momentum has been gathering, and I am hearing from God. And so much more regularly than before. And it's like a glory cloud just filled her home. She's pressing into God. And it's so important for her. And finding him in his voice is the best. Thank you to ABC. Isn't that beautiful? And we get testimonies like that wherever God has me teach this subject. And then the next subject after that is to see Jesus. A lot of people tell me that when we teach these topics, then they start seeing the Lord. And like my husband has seen Jesus physically, I've seen Jesus, and he's touched my hands, anointed my hands, and I see Jesus very frequently. And he talks to me and he gives me assignments and he gives me mandates. And then I just complete them. And he tells me things before they happen. And I'm to intercede and pray them forth so they come to pass as he has ordained. And he uses me like a watchman on the wall. And I warn people when something isn't right, even though they think it's right, because he shows it to me in the spirit. It's like turning on a TV and seeing a movie. It happens right in front of my eyes. I could see it. And they don't see it. And I'm like, I'm warning them. It's like if you see a building on fire and people are in there, what would you do? Would you just walk by and say, oh, well, I'm not going to say anything? Most people are like knocking on the door. There's a fire. There's a fire. Get out. Get out. And then if they don't hear you, you do it louder. There's a fire. And then hopefully they'll hear you. Keep knocking. And so sometimes people just don't want to hear you in the natural. So I just keep interceding for them because I see what's going on in the spirit realm. I see the attacks. I have the gifts of the discerning of spirits that God has given me. I didn't ask for it, but we all can operate in all the gifts and then we could develop all the fruit. But since I became saved, I'm just going to share with you the praise reports of the things that God does so you could have a glad expectation because he has no favorites because he wants to do that with each one of us. And then all the people that we've trained and all the people that we've worked with, you should see how beautifully they see the Lord and hear God now. And sometimes I check them because I could see Jesus when he walks in and what he's doing. And if they come up to me and say, did you see Jesus walk in? I said, yes. Where did you see them? And they will tell me, I saw him in the back of the hallway, and then he walked into the main sanctuary. What did he do after? Then he went and he started laying hands on people. Then another person in the same service will come up to me and say, I saw Jesus. And I said, to test them, what did you see? Well, I saw him come in the back hallway, and then he came in the main room, and then he started laying hands on people. And I said, they're right, because that's what I saw him doing. But I didn't tell them that. But the test is, I see, and then I see if they see. And then if God tells me a word, and then the Lord tells it to me beforehand, and then they say, I heard God's voice. Well, what did he say? And a lot of times when I'm working with people on training, the Lord will tell me ahead of time, and so I'll write it down. And I'll say, did he tell you this? And they go, how did you know? It's exactly word for word. And many pastors will come up to me that I've prophesied and said, no one was with me when I asked God that special request. Not even my wife knows I requested that. It's exactly word for word what I have asked the Lord. How did you know that? And I said, because I hear God's voice and he tells me. And when he tells me to say it, I say it. And I only repeat what he says. I do not add or subtract because I'm a vessel. I don't want to grieve the Holy Spirit. And I inquire of the Lord. And I say, Holy Spirit, what do you want in this instance? Do you know we know the word of God and we can pray the word of God and we could do affirmations and we do spiritual warfare and we could take authority and command things. However, we don't know every single detail of every single thing that the Lord wants from A to B in process. But if we ask him and he tells us, then we know how to pray forth those details. And we'll speak those forth and they'll come to pass. And so when we practice, you need to write down like, okay, how many times you thought you heard the Lord? What did he say? And then you see, does it come to pass? And if it lines with his word and if it blesses people and it comes to pass, you know you're on target. If something went wrong, then you go back to square one and said, Lord, I thought it was you. But it didn't work out right. So, okay, I ask you to help me hear clear. Now, some people are afraid that when God tells them something like a word of knowledge and a word of wisdom, that to tell it to somebody, they get scared because they're like, I don't want to say something wrong. You know, has that ever happened to anybody else? Because I'd be like, oh no, I can't say anything. What if I'm like totally off? And one time the Lord said, I want you to go up and tell people there's a healing anointing in this church, and I'm going to heal every single person that comes up. And I was too scared I was going to be wrong. And then I didn't say anything, and then I left the church at the end of the service, and I started to cry, and I said, Lord, I'm sorry. I was scared, and so I had to repent of being afraid. And I saw people walking out with canes, walkers, people still sick. And I said, Lord, they could have been healed if I said something. And then it activated the anointing, right? And he said, yes. Don't worry, I'll give you another chance. I said, oh, good. Thank you, Jesus. So the next time he says, okay. It was like months later. I mean, I didn't even think about it. You know, I just repented and then I moved on. And then the Lord says, today I want you to go up and lay hands on the sick. I said, well, I'm not the main pastor. I'm a guest. And he says, go tell the pastor that I want to heal people. So I told the pastor, and I thought he would just go lay hands on people. He said, you go lay hands on people. So I told the Lord, I said, if you want me to lay hands on people, then the pastor needs to ask me, because I'm not going to usurp authority. I like to submit myself and just follow the authority. He says, no, you need to come up and lay hands on the sick, because the Lord told you. And so I said, okay. So I went up on the stage and I made the announcement, anyone that needs healing, God says he will heal you today. The entire congregation came forward. And there was hundreds of people. And so the ushers lined them up, and then they lined them up at the stage. And I went and I just laid hands on each person, and they all got slain in the spirit, fell down, and they got up completely healed. And then we're like, okay, take those people off the floor, get them back in their seats. Let's get the next line. And I'm walking back. And as I'm walking and they're feeling my presence, they're getting slain in the spirit before I was laying hands on them. They'd get up and where they were healed. So in the next line, I'm like, well, praise the Lord. So the whole church got healed. The entire church. And I said, thank you, Lord, for giving me another chance to obey you. But I had to step out. But it worked the way that I asked the Lord. I said, you know, I need your permission. I need the pastor's permission, you know. Or I started very small. How I didn't get to that point immediately. In a little Bible study, the Lord said to me, go tell that girl that I have heard her prayers and she's been crying and asking me to heal her daughter. And she's besides herself. And tell her that her daughter's healed today. I said, oh, I'm not going to do that. What if she doesn't even have a daughter? I don't even know that lady. She's going to think I'm cuckoo. I can't say that to that lady. And he said, go tell her. I'm like, oh, okay. I want to tell her, but I don't want to be. Is that you, Lord? Is that really you? Go tell her. Okay. So I went up to the lady. I said, do you have a daughter? Yes. I went, phew, she has a daughter. I said, well, I feel like the Lord has a word for you. That you've been crying, literally crying to the Lord, and God said he heard you, and your daughter needs healing, and today she'll be healed. She said, how did you know my daughter was sick? I said, well, the Lord told me. She said, thank you so much, and her daughter was healed. See, you just have to practice. And I figured, if I'm wrong and I'm blessing someone and God honors his word, I'm saying in the name of Jesus, God said, wouldn't it be a wonderful thing for her daughter to be healed? So was I hurting her if I was wrong? You know? So there's been some times that people said, I don't know what you're talking about. And I'm like, okay, put it on the shelf. You know? And then I just start over and practice again, you know? But as the years grew and grew and I kept practicing, one time I was in Mexico ministering, and I was in the shower and we were doing a campaign, and the Lord would give me prophecies for people. So like the mayors would come, the cabinet members of the president would come, ambassadors, minister to presidents of nations. God would have me prophesy to them. So in the service, God was ministering through me. I'm just the vessel. And there were things that only God would know. And it was amazing to see how the people would just, their faith would just arise. And then people would just start walking in the room and they would just start getting healed. And then people wanted to get saved, because a lot of times I would give a word to someone that wasn't even saved, or someone would get healed. They weren't even saved. So now they want to receive Jesus. Why? Because I allowed God to use me as a vessel. And then, so after the service, you know, went to this person's house, and next morning was this big, big, terrible thunderstorm. And we were in this 10,000 square foot mansion. And some of the rooms weren't quite finished yet, but they said, we still want you to stay with us. And so the bathroom, the window was up here, but had no window pane. It was just open, no screen or anything, but it was way up high. And I put the shampoo in my hair, and I heard the Lord say, get out of the shower. I'm thinking, is that God? Why would God want me to get out of the shower? I shampooed my hair. That doesn't make sense. So yeah, you have to analyze, is that God or not? Get out of the shower. And I'm shampooing like, okay, Lord, if that's you, I just need to get, and the soap started going in my eyes. I just need to get soap out of my eyes, the shampoo out of my hair. He goes, get out of the shower. And I'm like, I'm working on it. Now! So I jumped out of the shower and a lightning bolt came in and hit the wall and the shower head where I was standing. And here's shampoo and soap coming down. I went, thank God I got out of the shower. So I said, I'm going to take the shampoo out in the basin. So I put my head in the sink to get the rest of the shampoo out. And I'm like, thank you, Lord. I practiced to hear your voice, because I would have been crispy critters. Sometimes we don't have an option. We have to just obey. So I've learned from that lesson to be quicker to obey. So how to hear the voice of God. So we learned last time that Christians who yearn to hear the voice of God, who want to learn how to hear his voice clearly and learn how to discern the right voice to listen to. Christianity is a relationship with God which should be maintained through good communication. Our creative God is not limited to one form of communication. It's essential that you learn to hear God's voice well, so that you can always be led by the Spirit of God, according to Romans 8:14. An important key is how to hear the voice of God is found in Psalm 91:1-2, which you can pray daily. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, I dwell in the secret place of the Most High. I abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I say of you, Lord, you are my refuge and my fortress, my God, in you I trust. And then you continue this prayer with Psalm 91:14-16, because I've set my love upon you, God, therefore you will deliver me. You, God, will set me on high because I've known your name. I shall call upon you, my God, and you, God, will answer me. You, God, will be with me in trouble. You, God, will deliver me and honor me with long life. And you, God, will satisfy and show me your salvation. See, that prayer worked for me because I didn't get hit by the lightning bolt. I'm still here. So, and I plan to be here when Jesus returns. Amen. So, Kenneth Hagin, you know, Jesus appeared to him. And he talked to him for over an hour and a half the first time. And it was in 1959. He was in El Paso, Texas, and he sat down in the chair beside his bed, and he was telling him about a lot of things, and one of which was the ministry of the prophets. And one of the parts that Jesus said to Kenneth E. Hagin was, I did not put prophets in the church to guide the New Testament church. My word says, as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. So Jesus was teaching Kenneth Hagin, and Kenneth Hagin was teaching us. And I was personally mentored by Kenneth Hagin. I had the privilege to go to his home, know his family, and anytime I needed advice or some questions about hearing the voice of God and things that the Lord was showing me, he mentored me. And I was so privileged by that. And now I'm privileged to be mentored by Pastor Joshua and Pastora Sarah. And I know I'm in the right place at the right time. And I've grown so much more here. And see, it says, as the sheep, as God's sheep in A, you will hear the good shepherd's voice. And so I had talked last time about how sheep will not follow any other shepherd. They know his voice. If another shepherd says come, they won't budge. But if their shepherd says come, if he has like 102 sheep, only 102 follow him. And if they all go in the same pen, like thousands of them, so that they all gather at night to protect each other, and there's like 40 different flocks in there, in the morning the shepherd just says, come sheep, and only the number he brought goes with him, the same ones. It's amazing. So we need to hear God's voice that clearly. Amen? Okay, so it doesn't say in verse 3 that his sheep might hear his voice or should hear his voice. It says they do hear his voice. See, a radio station is always transmitting 24/7 radio waves. And all you have to do is turn on the receiver, but you might have to tune in the station, the right station. And sometimes it's garbled, like blah, 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 because you're not really in range. And then when you get more in range and tune it more, then you can hear exactly what they're saying. God is always trying to speak to us. We have to tune in. We have to hear his voice more clearly. And so last time I was talking about to be still and hear the voice of God. Why? Because we're so busy that we don't take time to sit still and just see how he speaks. God speaks directly in a small voice. We're on C. He can speak in an audible voice. But see, now that we're born again and spirit-filled, he speaks to us with an inner small voice, the voice of the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit lives in us. And he speaks through his son, Jesus Christ. And C says, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. So these are just summary. He speaks through the Holy Spirit, number 5. And D, 5D, but you, beloved, building yourself up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit. And 6, he speaks through your pastor and fivefold ministry, ministers and leaders. If you aren't developed yet in that area and want some confirmation, it's really good to get that information from your pastors and leaders. He speaks through number 7, through creation. Number 8, he speaks through God's plan for your light, because a man's heart plans his way, but the Lord directs his steps. And B, your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Number 9, knowing in your heart, you have a knower, because inside of you, you know God. Inside of you, you know your creator, because you've been created by him. And when Jesus appears to people, I say, how did you know it was Jesus? I just know. What did he look like? What did he say? What did you just know. And each one of you can hear him better. Each one of you can have Jesus speak to you. Just ask him. See, B says, the spirit of man is the lamp of the Lord, searching all the inner depths of the heart. C, even so, no one knows the things of God except the spirit of God. D, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. Now, letter D, saturate yourself with God's presence and have a repentant, pure, clean heart. Underline that. We have to have a clean heart. We can't be in unforgiveness. We can't be in anger. We can't be in bitterness. We can't be offended. We have to repent. And then when we're repented, then we get into the saturation of the presence of God. The number one, when you saturate yourself with the rivers of living water by speaking in tongues a lot, according to John 7:38. A, he that believeth on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow the rivers of living water. And number two, blessed are the who? Pure in heart, for they shall what? See God. They shall what? See God. They shall what? See God. So let's work on purifying our heart. First, work on being in the secret place of God, being quiet unto him, being repented. And then purifying your heart. Check your heart of any hurts, of any wounds, of any emotional pains, of any fears, of any offenses, of any unforgiveness, of any self-unforgiveness, of any guilt, of anything that's the woulda, shoulda, coulda, of anything that you regretted or that you blame yourself for or whatever. We have to forgive ourselves and we have to forgive others and we have to release it and let it go and wash all that out of our heart when we get cleansed. And that's why we have School of Dominion. And that's why we cleanse ourselves of demonic challenges, because then we're not going to be purified. And the more we get purified, the clearer we can hear God's voice. And that's my goal, to hear him clearer and clearer and clearer. And so when we see, do you know that Jesus preached the Sermon on the Mount, the greatest sermon on earth? And he only did it in 12 minutes and 30 seconds. So we really don't need to have long teachings. We just have to have the Word of God and do the Word of God. Number three, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins, 1 John 1:9. And to cleanse us, see, cleanse from what? All unrighteousness or all impurity of the heart. That's what it should say. So we continue to do that on a more frequent basis and ask God, what are the sins that I'm unaware of? What are things I need to get out of my life? What are things that I think are God that are not God? Reveal it to me so that I could grow in that area. And number four, Psalm 51:10 through 12, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, the joy of thy salvation. Oh, Lord. You know, when there's so many challenges, the devil tries to steal your joy. The devil tries to steal the word of God. The devil tries to tell you, you cannot hear the voice of God clearly. The devil tries to tell you, you've blown it, therefore you'll never be able to correct yourself. That's not true. We all make mistakes. Just do a course correction like an airplane. Turbulence hits it to make it go off course even 1 degree. And instead of going from LA to Chicago, you'll end up in the Bahamas because of the headwinds, the tailwinds, the turbulence, all this kind of stuff. But in the middle, if you could see and watch the gauge and go, oh, I'm 1 degree off. I repent, Lord. I missed the mark. Sinning is missing the mark. That's all. It doesn't make you less of a person. We all make mistakes. Just forgive ourselves. I forgive myself. I repent. God forgives me. Now I throw it in the sea of forgetfulness. And if I say, oh, Lord, I can't make it anymore because I made a mistake, then I'm going fishing in the sea of forgetfulness and bringing that thing back up. And that would be stinking thinking. I don't want that thing again. I already repented of it. That means that I'm now the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus still. That means I've purified my heart. That means I could hear God better now, and I'm going to go practice again. I'm going to get before my God and be still and open up my ears and my heart to hear. And the more I do that, and the more I clear my heart, the more Jesus visits me and speaks to me and leads me and guides me. And the more Jesus wants to come and lead you and guide you and speak to you, because you are his sheep and he is your shepherd, and we hear his voice. Don't say you don't hear his voice, because then you're just helping the devil accommodate the devil. That's not true. That's not what the word says. I'm going to say what the word says. Because what I speak, I receive. If I say I don't hear God's voice, then I won't. But if I say what the word says over me, even though it's not happening yet, or not happening to the degree I want it, it will still happen. Because I spoke the word of God over myself, and then it comes true. Right? Recommendations. Spend an increased amount of quality time with God to practice hearing his voice more. Start with very anointed worship music. Sing to him. Praise him. Worship him. Then be silent and listen to what your holy God shall say to you as he inhabits the praises of you, his people. According to Psalm 22:3. Now let's go back to the top of the outline and read the prayer with me together. The bolded letters we're going to read together. What's not bolded, skip and go to the next bolded section. So on the top of the outline, let's read this together. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, I dwell in the secret place of the Most High. I abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I say of you, Lord, you are my refuge and my fortress, my God, in you I trust. Because I have set my love upon you, God. Therefore, you, God, will deliver me. You, God, will set me on high, because I have known your name. I shall call upon you, my God, and you, God, will answer me. You, God, will be with me in trouble. You, God, will deliver me and honor me with long life. You, God, will satisfy me and show me your salvation. Hallelujah. Do you believe it?
Yes.
Amen. So now we're going to sing, I Exalt Thee. You're going to close your eyes. You are going to open your heart. And Jesus told me he will not only speak to many people here. So after you get a word from the Lord, you could write it down. Or even if you just get a picture in your mind, God showing you something. Or even you just get a sense in your belly, that's like your knower, of a surety, of confidence. Or even if you just feel a warmth and an embrace, God is going to speak to you in one way, shape, or form tonight. And whoever listens to this message, you will also hear from God when you do this. And he told me he will appear to people as well. So let's allow Jesus to do what he wants to do tonight. Amen?
Amen.
Just sit, kneel, stand, however you feel comfortable. I thank you, Lord Jesus, that you have spoken to people, and those that haven't heard the message yet, when they go home tonight or sometime this weekend, that they will get that wonderful word from you as they go into the secret place of the Most High and be still and know that you are God. And Lord Jesus, you've blessed Pastor James and I that wherever we've gone, Jesus starts appearing to people and they start hearing your voice clearer than before. And I thank you, Lord, that you're continuing to do that as many people here at ABC have already started. And I praise you and I glorify you that this is the start of more frequency of that intimate relationship with you, our good shepherd. And we are your sheep and we hear your voice, and other voices we shall recognize and not listen to, in Jesus' name. Amen.